Well, it's a lot of fun to sit in with you on Saturday night and other nights as they are arranged. Talking with Mark Dice tonight, I always enjoy watching Mark take his little crew out there and get people to sign up for all sorts of things that you or I would consider to be pretty outrageous. Somebody sent an email earlier in the program that said, you know, the reason that these people do that is because Mark's so good at what he does, and that's probably why it's so easy to get these huge masses of people to follow these ridiculous ideas that various politicians put forth, because they're really good at what they do. So we will examine the power of persuasion when we come right back with Mark Dice on Coast to Coast AM. Interestingly, the Rasta Zombie crew sent an email here. It said, our film is literally about what your current guest is talking about. Mr. Dice, the pop icon activist Rasta Zombie, was killed because he spoke out against the Illuminati. Please mention this to your guest and support our struggling campaign. We are starving artists, trying to send as many important messages as we can in this film to the people of the United States. So, hey, most everybody is a grown-up now, so check it out. It says this little website is... got a trailer on Indiegogo.com/projects/Rasta-Zombie. If you run into it and you don't like it, it's like, well, open another browser window and proceed with your quest to find something you do like. But anyway, yeah, Mark, you know, the it's interesting. This really kind of underscores your point. Now, look, we've been a little bit rough tonight, and I haven't stepped in and said, Mark, don't say that. Don't do this, you know. It's like, you're a grown-up. Say what you want. This scumbag, dirt bag, I mean, any of those expressions, people use them all the time. But a lot of times we hear them on the air, and they're directed against somebody that, hey, I kind of like their music. Well, it evokes an emotional response. But let's be adult about this. What about the power of persuasion? Now, you've managed to persuade, as you go out and interview these many, many people and ask them to sign up for these various things, which are just ridiculous. I mean, really side-splitting humor. Just having you make this obviously ridiculous argument, and these people go, yeah, I'm okay with it. Yeah, no, give me the pen. I'll sign right up. What about the power of persuasion? Do you think that, I mean, if a man on the street, you know, you're being the guy on the street trying to get people to sign up for a cause, and they're doing it, how much more effective is somebody that's got a huge band behind them and really, really good cameras and really, really good makeup artists and a really radical agenda, and they're bringing it to you with the full-fledged support of whatever medium they're bringing it to you over? I mean, is this stuff just irresistible to people?
You articulated that very well, because for those who don't know, I do a series called Man on the Street Mondays on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MarkDice, where for months now I've went out and asked people to sign petitions for absurd things, from having a mandatory infanticide provision in Obamacare to a mandatory euthanasia provision, to getting Karl Marx on the Democratic ticket for 2016 because Obama said so, to literally repealing the Bill of Rights, a petition to repeal the Bill of Rights. And you can see these videos. They've gotten, some of them, maybe, I don't know, millions of views combined. And what I have done with this series is show that just a confident person like myself can say these things, these ridiculous things, with a straight face, and I am able to persuade people very easily to give me their name, their birth date, and sign their name on my petition.
Don't forget the Nazi police state.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, literally, I said, I'm telling them, hey, will you help to support the Orwellian police state? They're cutting the police state with their budget cuts, and we need to implement the Nazi style Orwellian police state like George Orwell had envisioned. And yeah, they'll do it. And the reason is, most of these people, I use the keywords, will you support Obama? This is what Obama wants. And I stick the petition in their face, and they believe that if this is what the establishment wants, or this is what their candidate wants, then this is good. And they think that they're helping. And it's so easy. It's the petition's right there. I hand them the pen. Some of the people, if you watch the videos, before maybe their wheels are starting to turn, they're starting to think a little bit. And I'm very well versed in persuasion, and I do it for the right reasons. And I just point it before they can think and ask a question. I just, the power of suggestion. I just tell them and point. Just sign here, please. Just real quick. I just need to see. And I'll tell them three or four times, and almost everybody will do it. It's incredible.
And they don't even hear you, really. They really don't.
I fill a petition in minutes, and half the people I don't even show because the videos would be 12 minutes long. You know, you get the point after 4 minutes of seeing 9, 10 people sign after clearly, or I mean, you should be able to hear what it is that I'm saying. What it is the petition's for, and you're correct. I couldn't have said it better myself. If I'm just able to do this just myself on the street with a petition wearing a T-shirt, often a T-shirt with the image of a troll, an internet troll on it, because I'm trolling these people, and they don't even pick that up. The power of the mainstream media with a guy in a suit and tie, and you put up a bunch of American flags behind them, or you get these talking heads on the TV with their $200,000 sets with all the flashing lights and everything spinning around just to keep you focused on them and watching and watching and keep your brain stimulated. That's how this the establishment, you know, which encompasses both the right and the left, is able to ram their agendas through and convince people to then just blindly attack people like me with these just pathetic slogans of being racist or being you're just a right-wing extremist, because they're bombarded with it on a daily basis with the slick sets, with the over and over again. And I think that some people, many people, probably don't even know what position they would take on an issue until they go to their opinion leaders, you know, whether it's MSNBC or Fox News, to see what they say about it. And then, oh, they're saying it's good or bad. Well, then it is good or bad. But and they can't even think of it on their own. And again, this goes back to the fragmentation of information in society, where so many people now just aren't listening to the news, don't read the newspapers. They're encompassed in their video games and their World of Warcraft life, which is now being infiltrated by the NSA as well. And, you know, we have people like Edward Bernays that taught these people how to do this. I mean, Edward Bernays, as you know, he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he was really the father of propaganda and public relations. And he was the one that convinced people that diamond rings, you need to buy a diamond for your girlfriend or your wife, otherwise you just don't love her. But before he had a campaign for the De Beers diamond Illuminati monopoly, who's, by the way, the founder of that company, put in his will to have a secret society funded from his estate to finance essentially the Illuminati. We have people like Edward Bernays, who has this literally down to a science. I mean, in his book, Propaganda, published in 1928, he wrote, and I'm quoting here, "Those who manipulate the unseen mechanisms of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed. Our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men who we have never heard of in almost every act of our lives, whether the sphere of politics or business, in social conduct or our ethical thinking. We are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses." I'm quoting directly from the book, and I'll finish the quote here. "It is they who pull the wires that control the public mind, who harness old social forces and contrive new ways to bind and guide the world."
Yeah, and if they want to bind and guide the world in a direction that's going to be disastrous once we reach our destination, well, that's just how it went. And it's happened over and over and over again. You know, Mark, I saw this. There are two things about what the last little bit that you told us, your last bit of narrative there, that really bothers me. And that is that after a certain number of key words have been entered into the human brain, they really don't hear you anymore.
Correct. If you see these videos, youtube.com/MarkDice, there's a playlist for the petition, crazy petition videos. Sometimes I will approach them with a somewhat seemingly normal idea, and then as they're signing it, I will ramp it up, and they literally do not hear or do not understand. And what makes them funny, I think, it's tragic comedy, but to the audience who's watching it, is you get to see me saying to these people, you know, we want to, this will authorize killing of children under the age of 3 for Obamacare. You know, that's that, all they heard was, hey, will you support the infanticide provision of Obamacare, not knowing what infanticide was, which is the murdering of children. And then as they're signing it, after I used the keywords, this is for Obamacare, you support that, right? Yes, yes, you do. Thank you. Sign this here. As they're signing it, then I'm telling them, it's like a, you know, infanticide, it's like homicide for children, you know, and they don't understand. They literally don't hear. And I want to provoke reactions. I want in the videos to have them, you know, have their ears perk up and say, wait a minute, what did you just say?
And it was so funny that one guy, there was one guy who said, nah, I don't think so. And he was carrying a kid and you said, how old are you? And she goes, 5. He goes, oh, you're too old.
You know, these people don't even ask why. They don't ask, what did I just sign? I mean, I did one, and I wasn't sure if I should have posted this until I cleared this with a Jewish friend of mine. It was a petition to support the Holocaust Beach Party.
I saw that. Oh,
I wanted to show that, you know, or test, are people so out of touch? Are their brains so mush from this mainstream media that they don't remember and understand historical events? Something as big and as tragic as the Holocaust, and literally, I got a dozen people to sign the Holocaust, support the Holocaust Beach Party Festival, and you know, it's a fine line because I don't want to mean to make, you know, comedy about such tragedy, but it goes to show that these people are so out of touch, and I'm telling them that this Holocaust Beach Festival is, you know, there's. You got to just go and see the video, man. It's, you know, I'm telling them that the Jewish festival to, you know, bury as many bodies in the sand as possible. I'm trying to evoke, you know, a response from these people. And if occasionally they'll respond, but it's so rare, and that's what I want. I want them to start arguing with me. I want them to be like, wait a minute, what did you say? Wait, what am I signing here? And then I was like, well, yeah, what are you signing here? Why are you, you know? Like, it's amazing. You just use those keywords. Will you support Obama? And people signed. I just kept going. You know, first it was to repeal the Second Amendment, and then it was to repeal the Sixth and Seventh Amendment, which is, you know, a trial by a jury and a speedy public trial. And I just told people the exact opposite. I said, we're going to repeal that, and it'll help speed up the court system. You know, and then I just went the whole Bill of Rights. Just, hey, will you support Obama and repeal the bill? All here, will you support Obama? Oh, I will support Obama, and their minds turn off, and they're signing their name and giving me their birthday to repeal the Bill of Rights, the most sacred document that we have in this country. I don't know, it's you know, and it just kept going. And the only one that really didn't work, it just every week, every Monday, I'm just like, well, let's do this. Let's try to repeal this. Let's support Karl Marx because Obama said Karl Marx wants to be his successor. We need 100,000 signatures to get Karl Marx on the ballot. Obama's worked with them and learned so much from him, you know, in the communist plot. The only one that really didn't work, it would have worked, but it would have just taken a little bit more time, was the support the Church of Satan. That was the most blatant one, and people got a little creeped out by me asking them to save the Church of Satan. And that one, you know, it worked. A couple people signed it, but it wouldn't have taken the 10 or 15 minutes like my normal
man. Yeah, infanticide I can go for. The Church of Satan, that's a little bit scary for me. Well,
yeah,
look, I'm laughing.
I kicked them out a little bit. But if I, you know, I forgot to mention the keywords for Obama. Redo it, and I think that they would. So Obama wants the Church of Satan to be open.
Well, let me
ask. Speaking of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, the author of the Satanic Bible, wrote in another one of his books, quote, many of you have already read my writings identifying television as the new God. And there is a little thing I have neglected to mention up until now. Television is the major mainstream infiltration for the new satanic religion. That's what he wrote in The Devil's Notebook, one of his books, on page 86.
Let me ask you this. Just, I want to take a bunch of calls. A bunch of people want to talk to you, so everybody just hold your position. How is it, I mean, you've used the name Obama repeatedly tonight, which, of course, I personally try to avoid. But what makes this guy so magic, so magical that people will go, oh, Obama wants it? Absolutely. I'm signing right up. I mean...
Well, I want to make it clear that I was no fan of Bush either. Bush is a war criminal who should be in prison. 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah.
Record as well.
I'm with you.
Stuck. Oh, well, but what about this and Bush this? No. They're two sides of the same coin. Obama is a salesman. This guy could sell snow to the Eskimos. And before I got involved in this, and even as many years while I was in this, I myself was a salesman. I worked in sales. I was trained in the art of persuasion. There are certain ways to phrase conversations and questions to convince people to agree, to do things, and to make people feel certain ways. And Obama had been groomed and must have discovered this invisible empire, this secret society power structure, and he is, he's the puppet. He's, he doesn't really control much. We use him as the figurehead, as to metaphorically explain this administration and the establishment as it is today. It goes back to confidence. If you want to get a hot date, you can't walk up to the girl and, hey, do you maybe want to come and get dinner with me? No, it's, hey, we're grabbing dinner tonight or tomorrow. it's like, we're going to do it. You're assuming the sale. It's like, we're going to do it. It's just, you want to do it today or do you want to do it tomorrow? And that's like the art of persuasion is, it's a skill that can be learned. And Obama maybe had a little bit natural skill, persuasive ability, confidence, that the ability to speak and to communicate and to use these neurolinguistic programming keywords that he has in his speeches, and to have the blessing of the mainstream media to put him on the cover of Rolling Stone, floating in clouds with a halo behind him, and to have this iconic, angelic imagery. I mean, he could probably declare that he is God, and a very large percentage of the population would believe it.
Yeah, it took a threat of nuclear weapons. What was it? Nuclear weapons. Yeah, to get George Bush to do it. Then I'm cross with a lot of those guys. I can think of two right offhand. That would be John McCain and Lindsey Graham. So. Yeah, you're right. They're two sides of the same coin, and it's the same thing on each side of the coin. It's not like heads or tails. It's like tails and tails. All right, tell you what. When we come back with Mark Dice, we're going to go by bridge rules. That's the bridge of the mothership rules. And that is a one-minute question or comment and a one-minute response. And that way it'll be, I don't want to say down and dirty, but that's all I got right now. All right. One more tea, because if you drink more than one more tea, you won't sleep. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right. Well, final segment with Mark Dice. And, I am not speaking for him, nor am I presuming to, nor would I presume to speak for him. But, here's the thing. You say, why are you doing this program tonight like this? This is really more a study in psychology rather than bashing this group or that, because as the old Fire Sign Theater said, I think we're all bozos on this bus. For so many people out there, as illustrated by that little Pink Floyd song, have a cigar, you're going to go far, you're going to fly high, you're never going to die, right? For so many people, it's just a job, baby, that's it, like Ava Gardner said to Hepburn in The Aviator. Hey, it's a job. Or said it to Howard Hughes, because she'd walked off to talk to some people, and he's going, what's this? It's like, don't worry about it. It's just a job, And that's what it is. But the thing is, what direction are we really being led while we think we're just being entertained or maybe even amused? That's the whole point. It's not a question of... which political system works better? Which political candidate is better? Which political party is better? Forget all of that stuff. The question is, where are you being led? Each of these identifiable groups that any of us may belong to are all subject to the same directing of our future as every other group, each of us. I'm not sure if I got that out straight. In other words, we're all the bozos on this bus. We really are. We are all being subjected to the same things. And if, unless you're able to separate the theory, which may be wonderful, from the reality that may be terrible, well, that doesn't bode well for us as a civilization. And that's the whole point of the interview tonight. It took a long time to get to that point, but I think I finally made it. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM, Mark Dice, and your calls next. Mark, I want to ask you something in your new book, Illuminati in the Music Industry. Tell us about Operation Mockingbird, the CIA, and the media. I mean, that's a sinister combo.
Well, we talk about, you know, they are controlling the media, you know, the government controls the media. I mean, we literally mean that. In this 1975, there was a congressional hearing investigating the CIA's activities domestically here involving the media. And they uncovered and published a report that the CIA, back in the 70s, starting in like the 40s, but in 1975, they were spending, in today's dollars, $1 billion a year. The CIA, under the table, paying opinion shapers and talking heads on television and major newspaper journalists, magazine editors, to act as gatekeepers and propagandists for the establishment. So that was clearly an admitted, uncovered in congressional hearings. You can go and find footage. The head of CBS at the time, after the hearing was done, said, well, I'm sure that it still happens, but people need to be a little more careful about it today. A fascinating look into how media is controlled. And you look at the media monopoly with just, you know, three or four corporations having such a massive control. But when we see the same message, oh, by the way, the reason it's called Mockingbird is a mockingbird sort of repeats what it hears. And so these, you know, these talking heads on TV, the editors of these newspapers and magazines, the journalists, they just, you know, repeated what they were told and still do repeat what they're told. I mean, they're just basically press release readers. You know, I mean, one of the guys that worked for the CIA, I was a director for Operation Mockingbird, Thomas Braden, at the time, this is in the congressional report, said that if the director of the CIA, I'm quoting here, quote, if the director of the CIA wanted to extend a present, say, to someone in Europe, a labor leader, suppose he thought that this man could use $50,000, he was working well and doing a good job, he could hand it to him and never have to account to anybody. There was simply no limit to the money it could spend, and no limit to the people it could hire, and no limit to the activities it could decide were necessary to conduct the war, the secret war. It was multinational. Now,
yeah, and you said establishment, which means both sides of the aisle.
Yes, that's how we were able to have George Bush ram the war on terror down everybody's throat. That's why when Obama steps in, everything shifts, and overall everything supports him. So that's from the 1975, or I guess the report was published a year later in 76, from the Senate Committee to Study Government Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities. That's what it's called. I mean, I'm quoting right from in my book. I quote right from it. It's on page 191 and 201 on, in the report. And so that is how we have, I mean, right there, $50,000 to anybody just for hey, and that's in 1970s dollars. So I don't know. I'm not too good with as an economist, but I would think that would be worth a couple hundred thousand dollars today. So just imagine if they did it then, common sense suggests that it's still happening today. Even the president of CBS News in an interview said that he believes that this still happens today. You know, one of the other quotes from the report is just, quote, the CIA currently maintains a network of several hundred individuals around the world who provide intelligence for the CIA and at times attempt to influence opinion through the use of covert propaganda. These individuals provide the CIA with direct access to a large number of newspapers and periodicals, scores of press services, news agencies, radio and television stations, commercial book publishers, and other foreign media outlets. And that's why when, you know, somebody has a book, somebody in the establishment, you all of a sudden see them on all the big talk shows. You see them in all the big newspapers because it's so, it works in concert. That's how they're able to do that.
Yeah. All right. Some people want to talk to you. You ready?
Let's do it.
Wild card line number one, Peter in San Pedro, California.
Hey, you guys, I got 60 seconds, so here I go.
All right.
First, John, I wanted to tell you you're my favorite host in Coast to Coast.
Thanks,
H.G. Wells' classic, it was the Eloi, that was the surface people that were being bred for food. And that commercial I heard you talk about, but the naysayers and the disbelievers being led to the truth. Well, Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool the people than it is to make them believe they were fooled. Mark Dice, how are you, sir?
Good, Peter. How are you doing?
I subscribe to your YouTube channel. It's great. You are on point with everything you're talking about. My question to you is Breitbart. I believe he was assassinated by the Illuminati after his CPAC speech that he gave. And in those same hearings you were talking about in 75, one of the weapons that was being passed around to the guys in the court, mm-hmm. the congressional court, it was a ice dart yep. gun that the CIA used. The ice yep. darts contained an herbal poison that caused cardiac arrest.
Yes.
And Breitbart died under mysterious natural circumstances. And the doctor that performed his autopsy, the day he released the findings, mysteriously died under mysterious natural causes. So my question to you is, what do you think of that? Do you think he's assassinated? And that's all I got.
Peter, dude,
thanks, Peter.
That's a great point. What Peter's talking about, I'm sure, John, you know about this, is, you know, 30, 40 years ago, they had a CO2-powered gun that would shoot a small, pin-sized piece of frozen poison that would leave, obviously, no trace. There would be nothing would show up on the autopsy, and this was one of the early CIA assassination weapons. And so it's very likely that Andrew Breitbart was murdered. He was such a pain in the side to the establishment. They always are very slick. There's the plausible deniability. Well, he was a little bit heavy set. He wasn't really he didn't take care of himself that well, but these people will murder people if they can't stop them, if they can't blackmail them. I don't care if they kill me at this point. And sometimes it's almost a double-edged sword because if they do, it brings more attention, but they have such great plausible deniability. But Peter brings up a great point that the CIA does have and has had for years a frozen dart poison gun. I know this sounds like it's straight out of science fiction. It's real. You can go and find the congressional footage. No joke.
Yeah, Ricin works every time, and it simulates a heart attack, and it's undetectable on an autopsy, that's for sure. Patrick, line two in Cleveland, what's up?
John B. and Mark, thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to say that I find it funny that during the 70s, every Zeppelin tune was played backwards to hear demonic verses. And now with what you're saying and everything, nothing is brought up by the media by what's in your face right now.
Yeah, the whole backmasking, backwards messages thing was really largely just a gimmick. Your brain, the human brain, is not going to pick up audio that is reversed. It was just a gimmick that some of these people used, or sometimes people many times read too much into the lyrics, playing backwards, and thought that they heard subliminal messages. Now, Jay-Z, by the way, had put backmasking in his music where on purpose, where he says, "Murder Jesus, 666. I'll introduce you to evil," and that's a marketing ploy, and it's not, you know, I'm not just reading too much into these things. Like it was DJ Danger Mouse who then remixed it, but Jay-Z gave his blessing to that. But yeah, it is interesting how there was this kind of a satanic panic or the scare with the heavy metal music and the rock and roll and the devil music. But now we have these, you know, seemingly family friendly idols doing it. So that's a pretty good point, Patrick.
Come on, Rodney, trucking in Tennessee on number three.
Hey, John and Mark, how you doing? Merry Christmas and God bless you. I can say that. The Illuminati's probably hissing at me, but I can say that, right?
Well, of course, you just did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, listen, I got a real dilemma. I've been driving truck for going on 27 years, and I'm a friend of the show. I talk to George and Tommy D all the time. I've become a comedian, and I impersonate Rodney Dangerfield. But my dilemma is I had a radio program out of Wheeling, West Virginia, I was telling Gina, called Jim and the Trucks Apostles Doctrine Live. I had it on for 3 months, and I needed people to donate to it, and they wouldn't do it. So I ended up getting out of that, but now I find that I have an opportunity to be able to impersonate the very best, ugliest guy on the planet. But being a Christian, I'm a little vexed about it, but I needed your input. It's a perfect show for me to do this. Well, what do you think I should do? It's like, is it going to be possible for me to be a Christian? Because my mission, and I have a mission, is to get a Christian radio station in the Boston area that preaches a relationship with God, not a religion, which is what I think we need, is that type of thing. But what do you guys think about that?
Well, if only you know, I would pray about it. I mean, if you're going to, I don't, you know much about Rodney Dangerfield's comedy. I know that a couple of the movies that he was in, it was a pretty funny guy. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think it was anything too extreme, but, you know, it's kind of a personal choice. I don't know, John, you want to chime in on that?
You know what? You just do it by whatever, you know, method that you have at your disposal. If you can get on the air somewhere, if you can do an hour here and an hour there and enough people like it and they start calling the station, they want to put you on, that's fine. If you got to go to the net, take it to the net. If you can come on as a guest two or three times maybe you got a friend that has a show and he can bring you on to do your thing and just, you know, start the legend rolling. That's I think that's how everybody does it, really.
And
just get it out there.
You have to be obsessed almost, but you know, it's a magnificent obsession. I know for myself, you know, there was times in the past, you know, years ago where I thought, wow, I'm, you know, maybe I should kind of back off on this. Am I really, you know, am I spending too much time doing this? Are people paying attention? Is it going to change anything? And now the feedback that I get from people, it's incredible how far the message has spread because I was so obsessed with the work. So, you know, you gotta just love what you do, and then you don't work a day in your life, I think is what they say.
Yeah, as Lady Catherine, a friend of mine, said one time, love it or hate it, you're going to be a slave to it. So if you love it, you know, you're all in. Right? Okay. Robert, number four in Atlanta, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Have you given any consideration to the fact that our government is saturated with dual citizens who do not have our interests at heart? And they are destroying this country. A dual citizen should not be permitted to have any form of connection to media. Now, one of our dual citizens owns 800 different stations and papers and news and radio stations in 50 different countries. That's a dual citizen. And look into the dual citizenship. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, he brings up such a great point, and what's interesting is if you approach it in the wrong way, then the establishment will smear you as an anti-Semite, and he's talking about these Israeli dual citizens. I'm not too familiar with who has dual citizenship or not, but yeah, if you're going to be an American citizen and you're going to be an elected official, I don't know. Should you have citizenship in another country? I mean, aren't you supposedly, you know, shouldn't you pledge your allegiance to America? Maybe you should renounce your citizenship. But he brings up some good points there.
Yes, he does. John, 5 in Northern Indiana. How are you?
Pretty good, John. And I just want to say quickly what a great honor it is to be able to speak with you tonight.
Right
my
back
question
at you.
For Mark is this this technological singularity that may be coming up, do you believe that it will play into end times prophecy as it's laid out with, like, the one world religion and all the one world aspects? And if so, how long do you think it will be before they do try to implement this?
Yeah, the singularity, what he's talking about, is essentially like the internet becoming artificially intelligent. And it appears to be on the horizon. It plays perfectly in with Bible prophecy, with occult philosophy, with occult prophecy, because the computers are so powerful, or they're going to become so powerful that I think the prophecy in the book of Revelation says that you know, it's people will worship the beast, and the beast, it gives the beast the image of the beast, becomes alive, and so these computers are going to be able to mimic anybody's voice. I mean, even right now, you know, John, if I were to get a phone call from you, it'd be, I couldn't verify that it was actually you. It could be a voice print, a voice spoofer in another few, you know, years, when teleconferencing becomes the way that everybody communicates. This beast, this computer, could mimic and appear as anybody. So it could, you know, might not even be Obama on the television. It could be the artificially intelligent computer system generating whoever the president is at that time, making him appear as if he's on television talking to people, even though he may not actually be there. And that's very, very dangerous. And that's why I'm against transhumanism. I almost think we should start our own resistance communities and maybe stop technology, you know, at the end of the 1990s.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Mark, where can we get your book?
Not available in stores. Get it on Amazon.com or any of your e-readers, and Illuminati in the Music Industry. You know, hopefully I can articulate this enough to try to make some sense, but the book is really fine-tooth comb, real polished. So check it out. If it makes any sense, get it as a gift. Only available on Amazon.com in paperback, or you can get the ISBN and order to any other brick-and-mortar store.
All right. Mark, I like your work, man. I like your spirit. So let's stay in touch and come back on the program sometime in the near future, will you?
Hey, always a pleasure. Merry Christmas to you, John, and God bless.
Merry Christmas to you, and may God bless you as well. You know, speaking of which, it seems to me, trying to direct your life without seeking some sort of divine guidance is like playing with a Ouija board. The more you try to direct its course, the more dismal your future becomes. But maybe that's just me. If I suddenly drop off the scope, go to caravantomidnight.com. You'll find me. With any luck, I'll see you next Saturday night. So until then, good night and be well.